all wear many hats. If I say a hat that you wear, I want you to raise your hand, and then you can slip it right back down. Got it? Okay, this is the first test. Human. You did well done. Except some of you were very timid about that. I'm not understanding quite why you were timid about answering that question. Father. Daughter. Mother. Son. Boss. Unemployed. Students, you should be raising your hands. Unless you got chores, then that's kind of a job. Retired. Amen. Amen. Creative. Artsy. Athletic. Used to be athletic. There you go. There you go. Trustee. Board of directors. We wear work hats. We wear church hats. Volunteer. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you are a priest. We got some brown baggers back here. I like it. Nice. Prophet. No? What if I told you that God's vision for you and me, for all of us, is that we would identify ourselves as both priest and prophet? The vision I believe that the Lord has put in my heart for this congregation. If you read the email this week, I sent out some information as to where I believe God is leading us as a community of faith. The Lord really pressed heavy on my heart that we as a body of Christ are in this next year are not meant to focus on the things that we are doing, but to really understand and focus on what He is calling us to be. And that from our being, God will send us forth in a new way into doing. Today, and over the next 6 weeks, we are going to look at what it means, or I guess the next 5 weeks after today, we're going to look at what it means for us to be called to walk with God as priests and prophets in His kingdom. Today, we're going to focus on that first one and over the next few weeks as well. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2 as we look at Peter's word to the church. This is to both believers and Jewish believers and Gentile believers alike. He speaks these words. Would you stand with me for the reading of Scripture this morning? 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1 through 5, and then I'm going to skip to 9 and 10 for our purposes today. Hear these words. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of any kinds, like newborn babies who crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by humans but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hear now in verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to keep those out and available. We're going to also look back at the book of Exodus for a moment today as well, so you can thumbnail that for your turning. Twice in this passage, Peter calls the church, the people who are believers, a priesthood, a holy priesthood, and a royal priesthood. Anytime someone repeats something more than once, he's serious about that statement, especially in Scripture. Friends, if you call yourself Christian, then you are a priest. Wait, I didn't go to school for that, you may say. Don't you need like a MDiv or some seminary degree to be a priest? Don't you have to wear a robe and a stole to be a priest? Don't you have to make a vow of poverty to be a priest? I'm just kidding. Don't you have to have one of those theophany moments, these call moments where the booming voice of God comes down and calls you into vocational ministry or meets you at a burning bush or something big and dramatic in order to be a priest? I didn't have one of those. What do you mean, I am a priest? Peter is pretty clear about it. In the Greek, this is not a you are a royal priesthood, like you individually. The best Greek translation for the direction, the sending out of these words is all y'all. It actually, the Greek scholars would say all y'all, us Texans get it best. All y'all are priests. It is a plural, second person plural. It is all of you all who call yourselves Christians are a royal priesthood. Maybe Peter's wrong. Maybe Peter's just making this stuff up. These words are not actually even Peter's. Peter is just quoting God from the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 19. And in Exodus chapter 19, to understand this call that has been put before us as followers of Christ, we look all the way back to the moment when God brought his people out of Israel. He brings them into the desert, he provides for them, and he is now setting up for them a new covenant. We call this the Mosaic Covenant. This covenant between God and his people. He's already set up the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant where he said, you will be a light unto the nations. And now, though Israel has been unfaithful time and time and time and time again, God has still upheld his end of the covenant. And he is hitting a reset button for the people of God. He's saying, all right, didn't work this first time for you to actually stick to your guns and obey me, and I've been faithful to you, so let's try this again. Let's reestablish a covenant before me and you, the people of God. We see this in Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 4. At the base of the mountain of Sinai, where the Ten Commandments are about to be given to the people of God, he speaks these words. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on wings and brought you to myself. You've seen how big I am. You've seen what I can do. You've seen my great works. And now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. Moses then goes and has this conversation with the elders, and they all say, God, let it be done. We're here for this. This sounds great. You are making us a kingdom of priests. How special is that? So what does it mean? for us to be a kingdom of priests? Does it mean that we all should be up here on stage on a Sunday morning? Does it mean that we all should wear these robes? For us to be a kingdom of priests and the Israelites to be a kingdom of priests, does that mean that they all serve a priestly role in the life of the church? Number one, this would have been a collective identity for the whole people, not necessarily an individual role for them to play in the church to be priest. But this is a collective identity for the people to the world. You are a priestly nation that is to be sent out into the world to proclaim who I am to the rest of the world. And number two, this is a statement about their personal, what God desires for their personal relationship with Him. That all y'all are meant to be in intimate, proximal relationship to God. You see, the priest in that time, there was a great distinction between the priest and the rest of the people. See, the priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies, though they would have a rope tied around their ankle so that if they were not holy, if they were not righteous, if they had unconfessed sin before God and he struck them down in his presence because they were too proximal, because God cannot interact with unholy, because God cannot be with unholy, if they were struck down in that space, they would be dragged out. And so the priest, the main distinct difference between the priest and the rest of the people was proximity to God. The priest was the only one that was able to be so close with God that they could feel God, that they could be in his presence, the Holy of Holies, and make sacrifice before God. The priest must be holy as God is holy. That's why God said, you will be a holy priest, a priesthood, a holy nation. A priest was near in proximity. We see in scripture, there was one time where two of Aaron's sons were playing with fire in the temple courts, the place of worship at the altar, and they were struck down dead because they were too close to the Holy of Holies, not in a place of worship. Kids, beware of running in the sanctuary. Who knows what might happen? The greatest difference between a priest and the rest of the people at that time was proximity to God. Proximity makes a big difference, doesn't it? You ever lost touch with a friend because you weren't proximal? Most of relationship is proximity. It's seeing that person on a regular basis. I think that's why being at church is important, because this is a moment each week that we are proximal to one another, that we are experiencing one another's presence. One of the challenges for our family when we moved here to Houston was that we downsized our home. Living in a large space where the kids had all of their own space upstairs, there would be days where we could go without seeing our kids if they were just living in their own world. But in downsizing our home, we found ourselves in each other's business. We found ourselves proximal again. We found that we couldn't walk around the house without running into one another and friends. We have grown closer as a family in this past year than we ever have in our lives. Maybe a part of that is our proximity. God desires, as a priesthood of believers, to be proximal to you, to be close with you. He calls this walking with him in relationship. It slows us down when we go from one point to the next. I'm not necessarily a walker. Why walk when you could drive? But one thing that we've experienced being here in the city is that there are things close by, and we as a family go on walks to dinner or walks to the grocery store. And in those times, we have grown closer, and our kids talk more with us when we walk together than when we sit around a table together. There's something about the movement of walking with God. And so God gives the Israelites the Ten Commandments, an attempt to be proximal, to draw them near to him as they follow these laws, as they lean into holiness. They received the Ten Commandments with enthusiasm. They received this call to the priesthood of believers with enthusiasm. And 40 days later, if you flip forward to chapter 32, that they are now sacrificing before another God. Because Moses was up on the mountain for too long. They couldn't wait this long. And so they begin to build a golden calf with Aaron, the priest above them. They are now taking this priestly calling that they've been given, and they are using it to worship another God. How far they've fallen in 40 days. They received it with great enthusiasm, but what happened? What happened between their call and their fall? What went wrong? If you look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, or I guess 18 through 20. When the people saw the thunder and lightning up on the mountain, they heard trumpets and saw the mountain in smoke. They trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourselves and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Friends, what happened? What led the people of God to reject their priestly calling is that they rejected intimacy with God. In their lives, they feared the Lord, and that fear led them to reject God, and it led them to turn away. Moses feared the Lord, and it led him into holiness. But the Israelite people feared the Lord, and it led them into self-preservation. Friends, which are we? When we, the people of God, continually reject intimacy with God, we reveal that we do not desire the kingdom of God. When we, the people, reject intimacy with God, we reveal our true heart that we do not actually desire the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis said about those who will not go to heaven, when asked the question, "God, it's not fair that some would not go to heaven and others would. Why wouldn't God, if he is an all-loving God, why wouldn't he just let everyone into heaven?" And C.S. Lewis's response to that question was so profound. He said, "Heaven is the most intense intimacy with God. If you in your life do not desire intimacy with God, then heaven would be hell to you." Friends, we are called to be the priesthood of believers. A priest is meant to be intimate, is meant to be proximal. If we reject proximity with God, intimacy with God, then we do not actually want God. We want what God might give to us, but we do not actually want the real and true God that we see in Scripture. This call ought to be both inward and outward. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at those two different things. Inward, this ought to affect the way that we walk in our daily lives in interpersonal relationship with God next week. Outwardly, it ought to call us to bring that life to a broken world in 2 weeks from now. But it must begin with us receiving the call, claiming that identity for ourselves as a kingdom of priests. Friends, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy priesthood. You are a kingdom of priests. Now, some of you may be saying, if I'm a priest, you better give me a robe because I am not holy enough to wear that badge. Thanks be to God, there is Jesus. Thanks be to God that he came as the propitiation for our sin. What that means is that he atoned for our sin. When God looks down on us because we wear the mantle of Christ, he sees holy. When he tore the veil in his resurrection, in his death, God called us into the Holy of Holies and said, you are holy because he, Jesus, was holy. He has clothed you with holiness. So now you can actually fulfill the Genesis 19 calling to be the priesthood of believers because we have the blood of Jesus that covers us. This is the gospel, my friends. You are washed white as snow. So how do we live this out? How does our worship reflect this truth? Everything we do ought to proclaim that we are a priesthood of believers. But how can I be a priest in this space? I don't have the title reverend or pastor. I don't have a business card that has church identity on it. I don't have a robe and I don't have a stole. I don't have a seat up here at the front of the church. How can I be a priest? Friends, if these create a hierarchy for us that says that I am priest and you are not, then maybe we should reject them. Maybe those are not the most important things for us. If we are to be a priesthood, what does it look like for that to be the central message that we teach here on Sunday morning? For the sake of the gospel, I don't want to stand up here and be the priest while you are just common people. You are anointed by God to carry that mantle, to carry that burden. If this robe gets in the way of you saying that you are priest and understanding that you are priest, then I'll take it off. If that's what is necessary for you to understand your role, then it can be here. You are priests. If I need to sit down there and move my things so that you know that you are priests, then so be it. I tried to get Wakeford to order us robes so that everybody could have robes, but he said it wasn't in the budget. Friends, this and that will not advance the gospel. But you taking on this mantle as the priests to the nations will. I'm not suggesting that I never wear a robe again. But what does it look like for us to see that image? What does it look like for us to know that this is our role as well? Henry and I serve as your pastors. We have been ordained and appointed to this church to administer the life of the church, to train and equip the members of this church for the work of ministry. We are not appointed to this church to do the ministry of the church. We say that again. Henry and I are not appointed to this church to do the ministry of the church. We are called to train and equip you to do the ministry of the church. When we, outside of this place, do the ministry of the church, it is because we have taken on the mantle of the priesthood of believers as well, just like you. Church, we are a kingdom of priests. All y'all. May we embrace the words of John Wesley, who said, "The world is my parish." May we see that world through a priestly lens. And may we feel the burden and the responsibility that we have been given by God of being priests to the world. And may that burden and responsibility draw us deeper into proximity with God, that we may begin to walk with God as Adam and Eve walked with him in the cool of the garden. And may that walk with God, that proximity with God, equip us to be a light unto the world. Because 2 Peter 2:9 said, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, so that you might proclaim the excellencies of the God who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Out of darkness, into his light, so that you might be a light back to that darkness. So, church, I'm going to ask you again, raise your hand if you are a priest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.